Do welfare programs cut down on crime? In Florida, do we create our criminal element, or do we import it? Florida Attorney General Earl Faircloth will answer these and other questions as we look into the Florida future, crime, and conservation. These programs, giving perspectives on the state's next 10 years, are produced by Radio Center, the University of Florida, in cooperation with the Altrusa Club of Gainesville. Here to talk with Attorney General Faircloth is Jack Detweiler.
First, Mr. Attorney General, let's get an overview of some of the problems facing Florida during the next 10 years. What are some of the biggest problems that you're concerned with?
Well, of course, I think in the next 10 years, we have to face up to the problem of whether we're going to have a top-flight quality educational system in Florida. I think we're going to have to face up to the problem of whether we're going to really combat organized crime as well as crime and violence in the streets, which stated differently could be the issue of law and order. Are we going to preserve that ancient concept of democracy that the citizen is entitled to have security in his person and in the enjoyment of his property? That is an issue that seems to be a little bit out of focus today, and I think in the next decade we have to reestablish it, because our democratic society can't last without that principle being reestablished and reestablished. And another issue, I think, is what we're going to do with our lands in Florida, the public lands that we have left. I think it's very imperative that we use them wisely, that we preserve and conserve what we have in the way of natural resources to the end that they may be available for the use and benefit and enjoyment of all of our citizens.
Mr. Faircloth, let's talk about organized crime for a moment. What role does the Attorney General play in fighting this type of crime?
Well, to begin with, the Attorney General is the chief legal officer of the state, as distinguished from the chief law enforcement officer. The governor is the chief magistrate and has the oath to see to it that the laws of our state are faithfully obeyed. The Attorney General handles all of the criminal appeals. In other words, if someone is convicted of a crime and he appeals, then the Attorney General represents the state in this appeal. Additionally, he is a member of the new Law Enforcement Bureau, along with the governor, the comptroller, and the treasurer, and three other people appointed by the governor. These seven, comprise the Law Enforcement Bureau, and to that extent, he is involved in what I hope is a step in the right direction in controlling crime in Florida. Additionally, the Attorney General now is the chairman of the Council on Minimum Police Standards. This is a new council designed to give us a higher standard for police officers in Florida and to professionalize the police work so that young men and women will find it a challenge to go into it as a career. There really isn't anything more important than that, because our whole society is based upon order. We can't have that equal chance that was the dream of our ancestors, our forefathers, unless we have public order.
Has there been any survey about the basic level of proficiency of our law enforcement officers to find out how Florida stands in comparison with other states?
There have been many, and I think by way of a generalization we can say that the population has increased faster than has the police population. In other words, the number of policemen per 1,000 people in Florida has not increased as much as the population has. Additionally, the crime rate has increased faster than the population or the police population. Florida is no different than other states in that regard, except sometimes you hear statistics about Miami and Southeast Florida being number one or two in the country in crime. I think this may be a little misleading sometimes because of the vast tourist population we have there and transient population whose statistics go into our record. I think, on the whole, our police are as efficient as any other police around the country. We've been criticized for not having a central command, as it were. We had only the Sheriff's Bureau up until this last session of the legislature, which could not run an investigation around the state without the permission of the sheriff in the county. Now, for the first time, we have a statewide entity that can begin and consummate an investigation anywhere in Florida without anybody's permission. And I think this is a step forward.
Do you see any dangers in this creation of this new statewide law enforcement bureau?
No. Of course, there are always normal dangers when you increase police power. That is something that democracies always have to look into. But on the other hand, we have to face up to the modern times in which we live. Let me give you an example to show you why we need a statewide enforcement authority. A con man moves into a community and starts a racket, bilking the people out of money fraudulently. So about the time the state attorney or the sheriff in that area gets on to him, he simply moves on to the next circuit or the next county. And then he has a brand new ball game. That sheriff can't pursue him up there. And they cooperate as best they can. But in all the confusion, the people are being victimized right on. So I think the dangers are far outweighed by the advantages that we can expect from having a statewide law enforcement bureau.
Mr. Fairclough, can we decrease crime by increasing our welfare benefits?
Well, there are many schools of thought on that. I personally think that that may be a factor. But I am of the deep conviction that we must, first of all, get away from the idea of bribing people not to violate the law. I think we have to establish once and for all, just as you do your children in the early days of their lives, they have to learn that there is such a thing as constituted authority. There are rules you live by. And you can't let them break the rules because they pitch a tantrum. And I think there seems to be a philosophy budding in this country today that because somebody pitches a riot or a demonstration or something and sacks a city, that then you got to put them on the welfare roll. I disagree with that. I think that is putting the cart before the horse. Let's have order first and then talk about our economic ills.
You mentioned the role of the tourist or the transient in Miami crime statistics. Do we import more of our criminals than we create them here in our own Florida environment?
Organized crime is imported, of course. Organized crime is something little understood by the public yet. It's something that needs airing, it needs ventilation, and it may be several years before the public is fully aware of what's going on in the area of organized crime. So it does not originate in Florida or any community of the nation particularly. It is imported. And organized crime seeks to supply a demand. It's a big business enterprise. People want to gamble. They don't see any point, any harm in betting $2 with a bookie when they could go out to the turnstiles and bet $2 at the parimutuel window. That isn't sinful because the state's getting its tax break out of it, I suppose. So they want to gamble. It's part of the mores of the community to do it, and that is the big factor in supporting organized crime. So the bookies supply this demand. And, of course, that is imported to the community where the demand is.
Mr. Attorney General, let's change the subject now. You mentioned at the very beginning that the three major problems you were concerned with were education, organized crime, and conservation. Let's talk about conservation for a few moments. As Attorney General, why are you interested in this field?
Well, in addition to being Attorney General, I am a member of the Executive Department. Our unique cabinet system is so arranged that the Attorney General is, first of all, the legal officer for the state and represents the governor and the members of the cabinet and handles criminal appeals and gives daily advice to the agencies and the county officials in the operation of the government. But additionally, he's a member of approximately 34 boards and commissions. These are executive commissions. These are part of the executive power of Florida. One of them is the trustees of the Internal Improvement Fund. The trustees now are composed of all the members of the cabinet. Now, they are charged as trustees for the disposition of and the handling of all of the so-called sovereignty lands, that is, your seashores, the submerged land out to the three-mile limit, the jurisdiction of that, and the ownership for and on behalf of the people are in these trustees. I, as a member of the trustees, saw for months and months the sad thing going on, that we were selling public land at a wholesale scale without any rhyme or reason to its use or whether it could better be used for the public interest. And it occurred to me that we were really operating a giant land office in Tallahassee, and I didn't think that that was in the public interest. We don't hold the land for sale. We hold it for the use of the people and the best use of the people. So I became interested from that point of view. First of all, it was something that fell within the purview of my duty as a trustee of the Internal Improvement Fund. So early in 66, I made the motion that we declare a moratorium on the sale of any further land until the legislature could establish some policy with regard to what we do with the sovereignty lands. And we put the brakes on pretty well. The legislature, after a lot of wrangling and debate, which was very healthy, passed, I think, a far-reaching conservation bill known as the Randall Thomas Bill. It was introduced and sponsored by Representative Ted Randall of Fort Myers and Senator Jerry Thomas of Palm Beach County. And this has been misunderstood by a lot of people, thinking that it completely curtails the development of waterfront property, for example. But it in no wise does that, because anyone who owns waterfront property is the upland owner. If he plans wisely, there is a method by which he can develop the land. But we're trying to get a balance between the public interest and the interest of the private developer.
You've used the terms public interest and public use. What interest and what use will the public make of these type of lands you're talking about?
Well, for example, from Panama City to Pensacola is 100 miles of the most beautiful beach anywhere in the United States. I would like to see a statewide zoning law, and it be a state law that no structure could be built between a highway at a certain distance from the mean high water mark and make it accessible to the public, so that they could use it, enjoy the beaches. They own it. And in certain parts of the state, I'm sure you are familiar with it. You see the big hotels have gone up, and they extend the lines out there, and the hotel is backed right up to the high water mark. And theoretically, the public still owns that land between the high water mark and the low water mark, but they can't get to it unless they're willing to buy a $100 a day room in the hotel to get there. I think that's wrong. And that's the kind of policy, and that's the kind of public use that I say is being denied, because the right of access is denied when in fact he can't get in there.
When you attempt to make these points and preserve this land, who is fighting you on this?
Well, as I mentioned a minute ago, a lot of developers felt that this was too stringent, and as usual, when you start to make an abrupt change in policy, it takes a while for everybody to understand what the new policy is. So I'm not sure when it is understood that the public right, the public interest is going to be paramount from now on in granting permission to develop waterfront property so that it can't be locked off and cut off from public use.
Attorney General Earl Faircloth has talked with Jack Detweiler on this program in the series The Florida Future. These programs are produced at Radio Center, College of Journalism and Communications, the University of Florida, Gainesville, in cooperation with the Altrusa Club of Gainesville. This is Herschel Connor.